Well, it's been a real joy to be able to sit and hear these good messages and just have our soul fed from the good things of the Word of God. Now, our obligation is to do, not just be a hearer, but be a doer. Amen. The book of Acts, please, chapter 17. I'll not be long. I'll preach short. There's an old proverb that says, "He that preacheth short shall preach again." Some fellas need to learn that, eh? Acts chapter 17, verse 2, the Bible said, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." In these verses that I've read, Paul and Silas were arriving at Thessalonica. And when they see them, when they see them coming and the controversy that surrounded them, they immediately recognize that they have trouble on their hands. Now remember, this is not the whole church from Jerusalem that's come to town. This is not the Roman army. This is two preachers that's full of the Holy Ghost power from on high. And they said, "They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." And I'd like to preach for a little while on this thought, what these men had that literally disturbed the world, or the church that disturbed the world. Would it be a blessing if we could see this town and this area disturbed about the things of God? Wouldn't it be a blessing to see our communities where we've come from get troubled over sin and over the condition of our communities and our country before God? Let me give you just a few things along this line, and I'll be done. First, the mantle they were promised disturbed the world. Amen. Jesus told His disciples over in John 16, verse 7, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you." And He said in John chapter 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now the Comforter was promised by the Father. Now you know how the disciples, they'd get fearful and despondent sometimes when they would get out of the direct presence of the Lord. And you know, our Lord in body form could only be in one place at one time. But He said He would send back the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would guide them and be in them. And He said He would reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And so the Bible said He would send another Comforter. Some of the last words of our Lord before He left, He said, "Tarry ye at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And right before He stepped on that glory cloud, He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you."
and you shall be witnesses unto me. They were promised a mantle from God, full of Holy Ghost power. And in Acts chapter 2, we'll find the fulfillment of that promise. They were in one place, in one mind, in one accord. And suddenly, there came from heaven the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the glory of God fell on that place. The power of God was manifested, and the Holy Ghost literally came to dwell in them and be their God and be in the midst of, or be in them. Brothers, they were in the midst of a crooked and a perverted world, and the Holy Bible said they were filled, amen, and they went out of there and started witnessing, and they literally turned the world upside down. They accused them of being drunk, amen. Now, Peter didn't deny the charge. He just denied the manner. Peter said, we're not drunk on wine, whereas ye suppose. But he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I'll tell you, neighbor, that day the Holy Spirit of God fell. It disturbed the world. Now, they said these men are like drunk men. Now, drunk is controlled by the substance he's drunk on. Amen. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit's like. It's being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not falling out and flopping around like a fish out of water. It's being controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when a man, listen, when a man's drunk, he usually cries a lot. Amen. He'll just get all blubbery amen. And the brother, no drunk, usually give away everything he's got. Amen. And a drunk will brag on the one he loves. Amen. And a man that's drunk has unnatural boldness. You take a fella that's real meek and lowly. Amen. But you get him about three sheets in the wind, he'll find a buzzsaw. Amen. He's scared of nothing. I tell you, the Spirit of God will give you unnatural boldness. Amen. Not in a foolish way like alcohol, but in a godly way. Hallelujah. You get, hey, an old drunk is full of optimism. He'll be sitting there holding his head like this, and he'll say, oh, it's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, it's going to be all right. And he'll be real optimistic as long as the wine lasts. Amen. But I tell you, get a man full of the Spirit of God, he can be optimistic in the face of trouble. Oh, Paul was chained to 16 Roman guards. And you know what he said? He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, be not drunk on wine, whereas in excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost have control. Yeah. He's saying wine can be taken in excess, but you can't get too much of God, son. That early church disturbed the world by demonstrating the power of God. When the Holy Ghost is working in a church, power will be demonstrated. The playhouses of the devil will be destroyed. The palaces of Baal will be demolished. And the people of God will be dedicated and delighted. Somebody said, I don't feel him like I used to. Listen, if your fan ain't turning, that don't mean the wind ain't blowing. Amen. I'm glad God's people can still have God's Holy Ghost power, even in a dark age. The mantle they were promised disturbed the world. The man they promoted disturbed the world. That early church was Jesus preachers. Amen. They were preaching Jesus. That Jesus is the dividing line, neighbor. I'm glad 34 years ago I heard a man preach that knew Jesus. Amen. He bragged on him and talked about him like he was his best friend. Hallelujah. He was promoting Jesus, but not the denomination, but not the clique he was running with, but he was preaching Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, he was one of them loudmouth preachers. I'm partial to loudmouth preachers. I like it all. I'm serious. I like soft preaching and loud preaching, long preaching and short preaching. I like short preaching a little better. You do too, don't you? Do like this. I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. Paul was a long-winded preacher. He preached after midnight one night. One old guy sitting in the window fell out. Went to sleep. He learned a lot about that fellow. He was more out than he was in. If he'd have been in, he'd have fell in. Amen. Amen. I like it. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. His loud mouth. I like it. Amen. It ain't a plan. It's a person. It ain't a program. It's a person. Amen. The early church was promoting Jesus. Peter preached Jesus over in Acts 2, and he said, "This Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, that God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be holden of it." In Acts 2:36, Peter preached on, and he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now that right there will disturb the world, neighbor. That'll disturb the religious crowd. It'll disturb the Catholics and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Pentecostals. It'll even disturb a lot of Baptists. Amen. Preaching Jesus disturbs the world. Philippians 2 said God's highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he's Lord to the glory of the Father. No wonder the songwriter said that they tell me a wonderful story. They tell me a wonderful name. It burns in my heart with its glory. It fills my heart with its flame. He tells me of one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He died on the cross to redeem me. I'll tell me his name again. Thank God for the privilege to promote the Lord Jesus. Amen. Feller told me one time, said, recently, I'd preached in this church. Guy invited me out to dinner. You call it lunch. It was dinner. Is it noon? And he took me out to dinner, him and his wife. After we eat, he said, "I want to tell you something." And he said, "I wanted to look you in the face when I told you." He said, "Your preaching offends me." Bless his heart. He said, "I don't like all that hollering." I said, "It ain't the hollering you don't like. It's what I'm hollering about." Amen. If I was hollering about the World Series, it wouldn't bother me. Or if I'd have been hollering about the Pistons or the Spurs or any of that outfit, that wasn't a bother you. But I was hollering about Jesus. Amen. I like to holler about the Lord, don't you? They were promoting Jesus. Amen. I like to promote the Lord. When you get to hollering about the Lord and lifting up your voice like a trumpet about the Lord, it disturbs folks. Amen. The message they preached disturbed the world. Them early preachers stood up with God's message. It wasn't no ear-tickling, back-patting message. Old Peter stood up one day and preached over in Acts chapter 2, and he said, "I got a message from God." He said, "Repent." Amen. And he, in Acts 3:19, he preached again. And he said, "I got a message." He said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." I'll tell you, all the New Testament preachers that preached repentance. Amen. The first word of the first message that was ever preached in the New Testament, the first word was repent. Amen. That disturbed them, son. Old John the Baptist come up out of the wilderness. Boy, he is a sight. He had on a leathern girdle and a coat of camel's hair, and I could see him. Man, he must have been a wild looking guy. I can see him coming up out of the wilderness. He's got a double-bitted axe thrown across his shoulder. He's got a locust leg hanging out of his mouth. Honey's all matted up in his beard. Amen. He comes walking out to there. And the first word he said, that was repent. Amen. He said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He said repent. Hey, that message will disturb the world. Amen.
First message Jesus preached. Repent. Now, you know, man didn't have nothing to do with that. Man didn't have nothing to do with writing this book. If man had anything to do with it, he wouldn't use that word repent. Because that's a stout word, son. He would have used another word. Like regret or something like that. Can you see that? Old John the Baptist coming up out of the wilderness, and he says, regret, regret. It just don't sound the same, does it? There ain't nothing in that word regret to shake up anybody. But I'll tell you, that word repent has got something that'll shake you out of your foundations. Amen. Repent. If you get anywhere with God, you can regret all you want to. Feel sorry all you want to. But till you repent, you'll not get nowhere with God. The virgin birth disturbs the world. He hadn't have been virgin born. His blood would have been just like yours and mine. Our blood's tainted with Adam's sin, neighbor. But his blood was different. His blood's holy blood. It's pure and undefiled. Amen. It's God's blood. I'll tell you that. That disturbs this humanistic world. His vicarious death on Calvary disturbs the modern world. But thank God for a place called Calvary where the Lamb of God gave His life a ransom for sin. His victorious resurrection disturbed the world. He died, but He wouldn't stay dead. The stone was rolled away. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll be build it up again. They said, why, this temple was in 40 years and being built. But he was speaking of his body. Amen. I tell you, Lord, if our faith to stand, it's got to have a foundation. And our foundation's laid in Zion on the rock of ages. Thank God he got up from the dead. Amen. That disturbs a lot of folks. The miracle they provided disturbed the world. Over in Acts 3, Peter and John's going up to the temple. Now, sometimes I wonder if these boys was really Baptists or not. I mean, they was going to prayer meeting. Hey, I pastored a long time. I know a lot of Baptists that never would even dream of going to prayer meeting. These boys was going to prayer meeting. It was 3 o'clock in the evening or in the afternoon. An unusual time. Well, they was going to prayer meeting. They got up there to the temple and saw an old lame man laying there. That old boy was sticking out his hand expecting to receive something from them. And old Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And boy, immediately, that old boy cut loose. He is a shouting and a leaping. Amen. He went into the temple. I can see them folks in there in that temple with their glasses down. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, get him under control. You know we can't have it. They said, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done. He said, by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And they said, we cannot deny it. Amen. This old boy is a leaping and a rejoicing. They all knew he'd been out there begging. But here he is in the house of God, shouting and a leaping. And they said, what are we going to do? We can't deny what's happened.
I'll tell you, when you see an old crippled sinner wallowing in sin and corruption, and then he comes in contact with Jesus, amen. Then you see him in the house of God. He's rejoicing and praising God, walking uprightly. His wife's got a smile on her face. Them little kids look happy and healthy and got good clothes on. And the brother there in the house of God, every time the door's open, and that ungodly world that they used to run with, you know what they say? They say, we cannot deny it. There's been a notable miracle took place, and we can't deny it. Amen. Hallelujah. Home put back together. What a blessing. The melodies they presented disturbed the world. Acts 2:36. Well, these people were praising God. Going from door to door, it says. Breaking bread. Acts 4:31 said they, when they got through praying, the building was shaken where they were assembled. In Acts 3:39, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Boy, they was wondering what was going on. They went down there to get them out of jail. They put them preachers in jail. They went down there to get them out of jail and put them on trial. And they came back and they said, they're not in jail. They said, what do you mean they ain't in jail? We locked them up, didn't we? Where are they? They said, well, they're up on the street corner preaching again. They brought them in. They said, didn't we tell you not to teach in His name again? And said, here you have, filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Peter said, I'm just one of them that can't help it. Said, I can't help but speak the things I've seen and heard. Over in Acts 16, Paul and Silas had been thrown in jail. Been beaten, boy, and they was in the stocks, and they was in the inner prison, way back in there somewhere. And it's midnight. And they decided the best thing for them to do was go on a hunger strike. Paul looked over at Silas and said, you got David Gibbs' number? No. The Bible says they decided to have a prayer meeting there in the jailhouse. And they said, they started singing. The Bible said they started singing praise unto the Lord at midnight. And the Bible said the prisoners heard them. They were making some noise, son. Many places I go, it's quiet as a turkey farm the day after Thanksgiving. I like to get where the melodies are ringing, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. And they got to singing and the praying. And it got heaven's attention, amen. And the Lord, amen, I believe the Lord come in there. I believe He made such an appearance there in that prison that it caused an earthquake, amen. And they're here, they're rejoicing and praising God. And the Lord leaped right over in the middle of them. Caused an earthquake. You could say it was jailhouse rocks, huh? And before the meeting was over, Paul had a converted jailer under one arm and a jailhouse door under the other. And praising God and rejoicing. And there was joy. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we can have some joy in these dark hours. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the... I used to say I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm on the side that's already won. Amen. It's already won. Thank God. Let's bow our heads. The pastor's going to come and close or do whatever he wants to do.